Welcome, friends. Happy to have you here with us. Thank you for joining us. We are going to be doing chapter 9, verses 9, 10, and 11 in this episode. Hey, Lou.
How are we doing today?
Good. Good morning to you.
Good morning. We took a little break, so we're getting we're kind of reuniting here, so anxious to get going.
That's right. Okay, good. So these three verses, 9, 10, and 11, are sort of like a prelude to verse 12, which I urge you to listen to after this one. You'll really like it a lot. Mm-hmm. These 9, 10, and 11, you will learn what leads up to that verse 12. So verse 9 of chapter 9 says, "Nor do these acts bind me, remaining as the one unconcerned and unattached to these acts." So what this verse is talking about is that Brahman, if you remember from previous verses, it says in verse 8, for instance, it says, "I, Brahman, bring forth a multitude of beings." So what he said, if you remember, we said that the universe expands and contracts every 4.32 billion years. Yeah. And when it expands, it brings out planets and all kinds of inanimate and animate beings and beings like human beings, animals, etc., if you remember.
Yep.
And this verse is explaining, like before, we always said that when there is an action, when you do something, there's always some kind of an effect as a result, cause and effect. So what this verse is saying is that in this case, Brahman remains unconcerned and unattached to these acts of bringing forth these beings. So the universe expands. You say, well, what is the consequence to Brahman? What effect does it have on him since he's doing these acts?
Right.
Now, anything you do, anything you think, any karma on your part always has an effect on you. You do something good, it's going to have a good effect. You do something bad, it's going to have a bad effect. What effect does this have on Brahman is what he's talking about. So in this verse, he says, none of these actions of me bringing forth these beings binds me to those actions. I remain unattached and unconcerned. So the analogy, and these are all scriptures from the Upanishads, says the analogy is that of a sun, where the sun gives sunlight, gives light, gives heat. What is the consequence to the sun? None, because that's its nature, that's its prakriti.
Right.
So the prakriti of the sun is to give light and to give heat. And as a result, there's no consequence to the sun. There's no doership. Here, we do something and we try and take some kind of credit for it. You put your name on it. Sorry about that. You put your name on it. You say, I want to do this. I want to do that. I did it. There's no doership here. The sun doesn't ask for doership, doesn't ask for any rewards, and neither does Brahman. So that is the characteristic of Brahman. It's like a magnet. A magnet, you know, goes, if there's metal shavings, it just attaches directly to the magnet. That's the quality. That's the characteristics of a magnet. You take a spring, you push it down, spring comes up. That's the characteristic of a spring. By the presence of God or Brahman, beings are born and dissolve, having nothing to do with any action on the part of Brahman. You and I breathe. We breathe. Who makes us breathe? It's our prakriti. It's our nature. That action does not result in any doership. That action does not result in any karma to you, because it's just automatic. Whether you're sleeping, you're in deep sleep, you're dreaming, you're unconscious, you're under anesthesia, your breathing will keep going on and on and on. You're not doing anything. That's your prakriti. Similarly, so Brahman remains neutral. The other analogies are the mind produces dreams every night. Whenever you sleep, you have to have dreams. You may not remember them. Those dreams are not a doership of the mind. It's the prakriti of the mind. Ocean keeps coming up with waves. A lake comes up with ripples. Mm-hmm. No doership. There is no result as a result. When we as human beings identify with the body or the mind or the intellect, then there is doership. when a realized person who is one with Brahman does not identify with his body or his mind or his intellect, he's only identifying with Brahman, he does not take credit for anything he does, and as a result does not have any doership. Keep that in mind. So somebody like Jesus Christ, when he did something, didn't say, I did it, I need some credit for it. He just did it because it ought to be done. There was no credit, there was no doership, therefore there was no karma. So if our thoughts are on our body, we become the body. Remember that. That is a rule. If your thoughts are constantly on your body, I want to develop my body, I want to look more beautiful, you become the body in a sense. Right. If your thoughts are constantly on your emotions, love, attachment, you will become that. If your thoughts are constantly on your intellect about knowledge and reputation and fame and stuff like that, you will become that. So instead, what the Gita says is, keep your thoughts on Brahman and you too will have no consequences or doership of your actions. All of this is leading to verse 12, and I hope you will follow us with that. So verse 10 says, by me presiding over this, my Prakriti produces the moving and the unmoving. Because of this production of the moving and unmoving, the world revolves. So Brahman's Prakriti, he says, just as our nature, our Prakriti makes us breathe, our Prakriti makes us produce dreams, Brahman's Prakriti produces the moving and the unmoving. What does moving and unmoving refer to? Moving refers to living beings and unmoving refers to objects. So my Prakriti alone gives birth to the world and all its beings. Now, when we said birth, remember, previous verses we have talked about birth being nothing but a projection of. When we see a baby being born, we say, oh, here's the baby just born, just now. But actually, at that moment that the baby came out of the mother's womb was not the time that it was born. As far as the baby was actually produced, born, however you want to conceptualize, way before that, 9 months before that, in a full-term baby, it only projected at the time of birth. You noticed it at the time of birth. You got to see it at the time of birth. So an oak tree, when it starts to come out of the earth, you may say it's just born. But actually, the seed was present way before you planted it, you watered it, and it took a long time for the seed to sprout out. It was projected at the time. It wasn't born at the time. But it's a question of semantics or nomenclature. But what this verse is saying is that this is in its seed form, and it's just dormant during those 4.32 billion years when it's in its seed form. And it just projected by Brahman's Prakriti at the time that the universe, planets, beings, and inanimate objects and objects are projected by its Prakriti waking up. The world revolves means Brahman is merely watching it. Adhyaksha means Adi, Yaksha. Yaksha means eyes. And Adi means the one who places. So the Brahman is only watching, placing his eyes on, the observing, the cycles of birth, death, life, morning, noon, night, waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, all of these things just continuing, and Brahman is just watching it. It's just going on because of the nature, the Prakriti of Brahman. The concept of electricity. Just producing light, having nothing to do with it. And we'll come back to that analogy soon. So going back to summarize, in verse 7 and 8, we talked about the rope and the snake, right?
Right.
So in 7 and 8, Brahman says, because of me, this world has come about, right? We're saying the analogy of the rope and snake. Keep in mind here, those of you who haven't heard that, go back and see if you can listen to it. It's interesting. If the child who sees the rope in the semi-darkness and says, oh my God, that's a snake, mistakes it for a snake, the rope is saying, I produced the snake. If it were not for me being here, lying on the road as a rope, this boy would never have seen it as a snake. So even though the snake doesn't exist, The boy sees the snake and he believes it to be a snake, and the rope says, I am responsible for that, right? That's what verse number 7 and 8 are saying. Now, in verse number 9, he's saying, I'm unconcerned. I'm unattached, because although you see the snake, I have nothing to do with the snake, the rope says. That's your misperception. Brahman says, although, yes, I produced the world and the thing,
right,
and you saw it because of your misperception. In verse number 9, he's saying, I'm unconcerned. I'm attached. I didn't make you see it. You saw it. It's your misperception. Brahman animates the Prakriti to bring about creation and destruction, but the Brahman remains neutral and unattached. And in verse 10, which we're going to go to, Brahman says, I'm only an adiyaksha, so just an observer. Creation and dissolution of this earth in the 4.32 billion years again and again is because of my Prakriti, my nature. My Prakriti, my nature is responsible for this world of beings and objects. It supports the cycle of birth, growth, death, morning, noon, night, waking, dream, and deep sleep. So that's verse number 10. Verse number 11 says, fools disregard me, Brahman, dwelling in the human form. They do not know my supreme nature. I am the great Lord of beings. So again, imagine that you have a bulb with a filament and electricity going in.
Right.
The bulb, the physical body, the glass of the bulb is our body, imagine. The filament is the mind and intellect. Mm-hmm. Without Brahman, Atman, the electricity coming in, the bulb and the filament inside is of no use. You see no light coming from it.
Right.
When Brahman, Atman goes in, the filament lights up and the body projects this lighting. The body is the vehicle in which the filament is carried. The bulb is lit up because of Brahman, but without Brahman, none of this is possible. So when Brahman comes into a human body is just basically earth. Earth, wind, fire, all of these things that we, the five elements that we talked about, that's all we are. When we die, what happens? This body becomes dust again. This body, if it's burned, it becomes ashes, small little container of ashes.
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing. The body is nothing. The mind and intellect transfers, as we said, to another body because it still has vasanas that it wants to create, keep coming out. That spirit, human beings are basically spirit and matter. The spirit is Atman, Brahman, electricity. The matter is the body, the mind, and the intellect, three things. The body is the sense organs and the organs of action. All of that body is enlivened by Brahman. Now, Brahman says in this verse that fools, he calls them fools because they should know better that I'm Brahman, but they don't know. They disregard me, even though I am Brahman, the Lord of all beings, comes in the form of a disabled person or a person who's mentally retarded or disabled in some way. And people make fun of me. They insult me, even though I'm the Lord. He says people don't recognize that I'm Brahman in every being, every living being. This verse is actually teaching us to say, give respect to others, no matter who they are and what they look like and what their qualities are, because every human being, every living being is Brahman itself. So in Hinduism, in India, you do namaste, you do a salute like this. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're doing by saying this is, I bow down. You put your head down, you do this, and you bow down to somebody. You're saying namaskar, meaning I am giving respect to you. My divinity bows down to your divinity. These are the five sense organs. These are five organs of action. They're both nothing in front of you. These 10, five senses of five organs of action and of sense organs are all nothing. I bow down to you. I respect the divinity, the Brahman within you. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you are, what your color is, or whether you're mentally deficient or physically deficient. You're Brahman, and I respect that. So hopefully we all are able to carry that throughout our lives.
Interesting.
So that, yeah.
I like the five sense organs and about the namaste salute and the namaste bow there. It's an interesting twist to it.
Yeah. Good. All right, friends. So I hope you join us for episode 12. I like episode verse 12 a lot, which will be in our next episode. Thank you so much.